You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty and everlasting God, who art always more ready to hear than we to pray, and art wont to give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I just find that to be a really suitable collect because I think it speaks to who God is, who we are, speaks to my own fears and insecurities about prayer, about talking to the creator of the universe. Oh, yeah. And so it's a it's such a palpable reminder that God is eager to hear from his children. In spite of what we may have been told or we thought, that there's a right way to pray, that I have to do it right, it's such a helpful reminder that God really does care for us and care about us and wants to engage us. And of course, there's another prayer we pray every Sunday that we have morning prayer, which says, Lord, give us an awareness of your mercies, that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but with our lives. There's something about prayer that's about an awareness. It's kind of an awareness that I'm not alone. It's not just me. That it's not just me and my thoughts, but that there is another one who is my companion, my friend, who knows everything about me, the one before whom all hearts are known. There's no mysteries, there's no secrets between us and God. As much as we'd like to consider that there's some partition or wall, the only partition or wall is usually the ones we erect of our own being. We cover ourselves with those fig leaves, just like Adam and Eve, right? And think, well, I need to clothe myself, I need to present myself somehow to God in a way that I'm actually not, that I'm actually naked and it's he who clothes me. And so there's something about prayer that I find both haunting and challenging, but also deeply natural, if that makes sense. Natural meaning prayer's been called the language of home. It's like this language of home, but it's a home that we know we're not totally in yet. We're in kind of this exile state of living in this world. And so God's presence is often obscured to us. Consider like 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul writes, you know, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. Like, God fully knows me, but I only partially and snippets know him. As through a glass dimly, there's something, there's smudges on my lenses that no matter how much I try to wipe them clean, I can't totally get them clean. And then St. Augustine, one of my favorite little quips, is God is the country of the soul. So there's something about being an image bearer that, like, the very natural place of who you are is presence with God. He is the country of the soul. And so when it comes to prayer, we have common prayer. We have, of course, collects and different things. And I don't know, Fontaine, is there a class that just walks through the Book of Common Prayer? Yeah. But, well, because I find that really fascinating and challenging. And I think a lot of people, when I was at the University of Florida prior to this, just like doing mission ministry to a campus, people of all ages and stages and backgrounds and sometimes no background, they were all curious about the Book of Common Prayer and how it works and what's it for. And, of course, we may only like come across it on Sundays, perhaps, because of some of the ways our services are structured. But this is actually how I came into the Episcopal Church, was through utilizing a liturgy as a devotional practice, actually. Beth and I, even in seminary, we were Presbyterians, but we were using the Book of Common Prayer and the lectionary of seasons. And so we really loved and longed for that kind of sense of a full-orbed reminder annually of where we were. Like, there's a correlation between where we are in the seasonal calendar as well as in the church calendar, which provided access to this book. And so that was actually part of my own journey as a Presbyterian coming into the Episcopal Church, into this tradition, was I was a pastor here in town, and I'd walk over to my neighborhood Episcopal Church, which was St. Mary's of the Highlands, because I lived in Southside, and I would just pray the daily office of morning prayer with some of the folks that would come. It was usually like 5 or 6 people max, and it was just a anchoring reminder that when I'm in prayer, I'm never really alone, and it was helpful to hear others articulating the same prayers that in devotional material together. And of course, when we're here at Advent on Sunday morning, you're doing it with just a lot more. It's more than 5 or 6. But and yet we confess, where 2 or 3 are gathered, Christ says, there I am in the midst of them. And so he's in our midst whenever we're at prayer. Anne Lamott has a wonderful little accessible book called Help, Thanks, Wow. And it's like, that's basic. That's about all I got today, guys. you know, that's about all our prayers are, though, if you think about it. If you boiled it down, I mean, it's help. God, I am in the depths of it, and I can't get out of it myself. Otherwise, why would I bother to pray? I usually, that's one of the main places I pray is, oh, help. I'm either in a jam, or I'm about to be in a jam, or I'm worried about the next thing. Right? So there's like help. Thanks is like oftentimes when we find God's help meeting us in that place, we're relieved, right? We're like, oh, I feel so grateful, right? Gratitude being just one of the deepest ways we can engage our spiritual life. Oh my goodness, God showed up for me here. Hearing testimony from other people, in fact, usually can encourage us because it makes us feel more grateful for even those small ways that we maybe haven't even acknowledged where God has come through for us. And we haven't maybe always acknowledged it well. And then wow, just being like, I'm stunned at the majesty of who God is, his beauty, his holiness, his otherness. Just awe, being in awe. And oftentimes that's a little bit more of a speechlessness. You know, we try to find words that match our sense of being overwhelmed or overcome by just the deep love of Christ. And so in my own journey, I was not raised in a Christian home. And I mean, I wish we had hours here together so I could hear each of your stories of how you conceived of prayer. I probably mostly knew of it from Little House on the Prairie. My family was just Midwestern Ohioans who moved to Georgia and didn't really fit into the Bible Belt dynamic. And so I didn't grow up going to church. And really, religion was such a privatized affair, like politics or finances. There were just things, or emotions, things in my family you just do not talk about. You don't talk about anything personal, really. And so I never had demonstrated for me prayer in the home. I have no memory about this kind of thing. My parents don't have a faith life. And yet I remember from a very young age, I would pray when I was laying in bed at night. I would think about, I loved animals when I was little. And I'd think about all like the stray animals, cats or dogs or something that I saw that day. And I would ask God, this like unknown God, this kind of nebulous sense of a maker out there, care for these animals. I remember palpably praying those things urgently, you know, meaning it. And it wasn't until I became a Christ follower later in high school through an outreach ministry that I started to really read the Bible and hear and watch other people demonstrate for me prayer. And oftentimes in public forums, even in small groups, that can be really uncomfortable, right? How many of us have been in a small gathering? It's like, hey, let's just all pray. And you leave that silence, and sometimes you're thinking, okay, how much silence is too uncomfortable? You know, when should I just say something? But that's where I kind of learned to do that in Christian community. And usually, you know, my prayers were of the help variety, or places where I was experiencing pain. Like when my girlfriend broke up with me on spring break at Panama City Beach, and I was walking at like 3 a.m. on Panama City Beach, just like, yeah, groaning. It was like the deepest pain I'd ever experienced, you know, in the teenage, like, why God, why, you know, why me? But like, I remember I was building kind of a channel or a understanding for, oh, like the God of the universe, God who created this starry host over the beach, actually cares about my pain. And I only knew that because I was able to express in prayer, but also hear that kind of gentle, warm reminder from Scripture that he's my good shepherd and he will always lead me. No matter what. And so we've all maybe faced minor or major challenges that have driven us to prayer. But what about just kind of the regular run-of-the-mill, day-to-day reality? When you're hearing prayer, what are you largely thinking of? What's kind of your most instinctual?
Quiet.
Quiet, thank you. Anything
connection
else?
Forward.
Connection with the Lord. What else?
Work.
Like prayer as work, or thinking about your vocational work?
Prayer as work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good work.
Something to work at. Yeah. Yeah.
It's peace.
Peace. Yeah, that's good. And it really is. I remember, like, my youngest daughter, Rosie, she's probably the most tender-hearted in our family, and just very sensitive. But like, so sometimes when, you know, when it's her turn or she gets opportunity to pray at dinner or whatever, what have you, so sometimes her prayer will just be like, God, and just thank you for everything. Amen. And it's like, man, that says it all, Rosie. I appreciate that. There's just a sense of all-encompassing nature of, I couldn't even spend time saying it all, so just everything. But I tend to think about things, spiritual things like prayer in this. This was a very seminary thing. Marshall's probably going to recognize this. I had a seminary professor named John Frame, and he did everything in triangles. He just loved triangles. And so three kind of points that are all connected in this shape, right? A tri-perspective, three perspectives here. And so just this idea of that there's a normative, right? There's kind of that North Star, the normative stated and expressed idea of Scripture, or of what is a true prayer, right? And we find that, I mean, that's in God's Word. That's in Scripture, right? We have examples of prayers. We have, of course, things like the Psalms, and the Psalms are such a rich repository of prayers that kind of run the gamut of our human experience, right? From questioning God to lashing out in frustration at God to deep repentance over sin, or to the joyful rejoicing and gratitude, just runs the gamut. And so it's helpful that we have examples interwoven into our Scriptures. And of course, that's where like our prayer book's really helpful also, capturing language from the Scriptures in such a way that when we don't know what to pray, when we're kind of at a block or a loss, it's helpful that we have things we can go to as resources and say, God, I just don't have it today, but I'm just going to pray this. And, you know, and maybe it's even things like the Lord's Prayer, right? Like, I've got something that I've been in church long enough, I've just learned. Not because I set out to memorize it, but because I've been around it so much. And those are really helpful to us. I remember being on a plane that the engine went out and, you know, it was a little turbulent, and I was very much fearing that I was never going to see my wife and children again. And I just like went to the Lord's Prayer and then like the Apostles' Creed as I was like breathing and praying. And it was just instinctual, right? I didn't have to think about, what's a good prayer for right now? It just happened, you know, in the crisis. If this plane goes down right now, this is the last thing I'm consciously thinking. Because it just gets in you, and it's a guide. And so there's like this normative, that's what we have as examples of prayer. But then there's also a situational expression, right? Every situation, every circumstance, every life here, your life is telling a story. And it's a part of God's redemptive story. He's at work. And so Noah has experiences with God that I don't have, and Susan has experiences with God that I don't have, and Judy, and so forth. And so, like, there's something about the different circumstances or situations that you and I will encounter in life that will bring us to a realization of who God is. And sometimes we do need resources, and sometimes it's a little more extemporaneous, right? It's going to be tailored to your own experience, your own desires. And of course, there's also just this, and the other thing about the prayer book that's amazing, actually, is that it does cover, this is a connection for us with other Christians, right? Like, others are praying these same prayers. This is familiar language. So when we're praying, we're never really truly alone. We're praying the same things. Anglicans across the globe are praying, perhaps sometimes at the exact same moment or time. And so that brings me also great comfort that this isn't just me and God. This is God in the company of his people, and I'm joining my voice to those voices, that I'm one of his children, and he delights to hear from us. But prayer is hard, Marshall. It is work. And I tend to think about, in our prayer book, we have, turn to page 302 with me real quick. This is, 302 has our holy baptism liturgy. And was anybody here baptized in the Episcopal Church? Okay, yeah, good half of you. And has anybody seen or participated in a baptism service in the Episcopal Church? Okay, most of us. This is what I just find really, really helpful, because it brings a kind of language to moving us from this sense of I'm independent, you know, I've got this, to like a real, oh, I need to depend on God and his grace more fully. Because it has these questions and answers of the one being baptized or the sponsors of the infant, if it's an infant, being baptized. And it gets real it gets real spiritual real quick. You know, it's kind of like it goes from like the beach to like a 100-foot, you know, ledge in the ocean shelf real fast. It's like, okay, candidate, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? You know, it's kind of that way. Is that what I'm here for? You know, wow, I'm here to renounce Satan. But it's like, yes, that's what you're like, Satan bad. So, you know, it's one of the first things we kind of get in our Christian walk. Do you renounce, the second one, evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? It's like, ooh, yeah, oh, man, yeah. I don't want to be, I'm not siding with evil, right? Yeah, I side against evil. And then do you renounce sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Look how it's like starting out as this like out there thing, the things in the world. And then it's coming in here. Ooh, sinful desires. I'm familiar with that. This is getting close to home. And notice that sinful desires draw us from the love of God. It's like sin isn't bad because it's just because God says so. It's bad because it wrecks our relationship with God and who we're actually meant to be. And so in prayer, we're actually we're seeking to reconnect those tethers, knowing that God's already connected them. We're not doing that on our own, and yet we're responding to what he's already done. And then do you turn to Christ? Do you put your whole trust in his love? Do you promise to follow and obey him? Notice how it's working its way into the very heart of things for us. And that's what prayer is meant to do. It's not meant to be just an externalized, functional, performative activity. There's aspects of that. It's meant to work right down to the core of who we are, to reconnect us to the better story of who God is and what he's doing. Often in spite of or against the ways that I'm trying to build my own fiefdom or try to claim some semblance of a life that I've cobbled together. It's a reminder that I'm not my own, that I'm bought with a price, that I belong to another, and that I'm actually ultimately dependent and reliant upon him for all my needs. And that's where prayer is actually like the most honest thing we can do. As much as the like thoughts and prayers kind of mantra culturally sometimes doesn't do it for people, there's actually something that could be like the deepest, most meaningful thing you could do. And in addition to that, maybe doing some visible action that like, you know, helps people in a functional, visible way. And yet it's such a reminder that God's writing this story in our lives. And I mean, gosh, that's where sometimes even, you know, I'm a professional, so I should like be good at prayer. Right? And yet I'm constantly like reminded of how prayer's not something you get good at. Right? It's such like it goes against all of our adult instincts of like getting it right or doing it better. But more of like I try to lean into at least the reminder that, oh, if I'm God's child, I need to like have this childlike faith, which often means I'm bumbling around here and maybe even getting playful with what it means to belong to God. In other words, like making intimacy with God, not something that I have to make happen, but allowing room for God to make that happen in my life. Sometimes even against my best efforts. What else? Oh, okay. Here's a good one. Like, so sometimes this quote that I can't remember where I got this, but it's from an author named Alan Jacobs. And this is about cynicism. And none of us are cynics, so it's good that I'm bringing this. But we struggle with things like cynicism, especially with things like prayer, right? It can be like, is there a correlation or a causation between my prayer and like something happening, right? And it can be so easy to be like, well, that's coincidence, or there's, you know, surely that didn't have to do with the prayer. And this is what Alan Jacobs says. He says, those who will never be fooled can never be delighted, because without self-forgetfulness, there can be no delight. And that hits me right between the eyes. Because I want to be vigilant and I want to know enough. And so if I can be a little bit disconnected from it or stand off from it or just the desire to not get sucked in or fooled. And I think this goes into areas of like, you know, the work of the Spirit in our world and things like that. Because I get it. There's some people that are like so, you know, so palpably connecting everything to spiritual meaning, it gets a little complicated, or I do get skeptical of that. And yet this is such a reminder that in prayer, what we should be becoming is delighted, enthralled, awed, wonder-filled. That, again, the God of the universe actually cares, one, to hear about my prayer about, you know, my hanging toenail or whatever, or, you know, or my kid's grade at school, or that I get my, you know, work project done in a way that pleases my superior or something. These concerns actually God cares about, Right? Not that the, you know, the history or the future of the cosmos hangs on the outcome, but that even every hair on our head is numbered. And that is humbling to us. And then, of course, we can bring our doubts, our fears, our unworthiness to God. And that is such a delight and a wonder. And so we just have this rich culture to draw from, not just here at the Advent, but throughout the Anglican Communion, throughout Christendom and other faith traditions, in Christian faith traditions, where we have the ability to draw on the saints that have gone before us. And their experiences can speak into what it looks like for us to have a living, abiding connection to the God who loves us. And lastly, I just want to close with Eugene Peterson, Christian pastor, par excellence in so many ways. But he said that all prayer becomes praise. It takes a lifetime, but it becomes praise in the end. And so no matter how many help prayers we're throwing up, eventually it's all going to become wow. That's what the new heavens and new earth is actually about. And so in some ways we're getting a lot of opportunity and preparation for the big show, as it were. And so that's our Christian hope. Whether you feel like you're Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying so hard and fervently with tears that you're just not sure you can take one more step, or if you're just skipping through the fields saying, "Man, God is so good." No matter where you are, that's a moment for prayer and for connection with God, and He delights in you. So I guess I just want to leave some time for some maybe questions, conversation, or thoughts that I could take away that would help me better know how to be a pastoral presence for you. And what did I miss, Fontaine?
I think I have one comment. I was just sitting here thinking about this. The Apostle Paul, I don't remember where it's from in the Scripture, but he says, pray without ceasing. And the older I've become, the more I'm understanding that that's just a relationship with Him. And you're in a constant, well, I live alone too, but beside my cat, so it's stopping.
Yeah.
This prayer book, I've heard this before, and I've always thought it, ever since I was a little girl, it contains some of the most beautiful, well-crafted prayers I think that have ever been written, especially in the English language.
Yeah. Amen. Hearty amen on that, Susan. You're totally right. And the prayer without ceasing, again, and we talk a lot about, like, a lot of prayers are words that we're offering to God. There are, in the Christian tradition, some great resources for things like different kinds of prayer practices and meditations and contemplations that do allow us to, if it's a relationship, right? Nobody wants a relationship where somebody's talking at them all the time, right? I mean, we all know, we all have that person in our life that's like, okay, we get together and it's always about them. A good relationship means like there's communication. And so, like, sometimes it is silence, sometimes it's work, sometimes it's movement, sometimes, and how much in our culture, I mean, I did a lot of this with my college students, and my last post actually was a lot of times of like just being quiet and still or listening, and like the taking them on retreats where it's like, oh, they're not getting buzzed on their phones or having to make tweets or whatever, or Instagram posts. It was a very, it was like you could see like the weight coming off of their chest of like, oh, it's kind of nice, but like we always have earbuds in, or we're listening to something or watching something. Something's always getting our attention. That's why like prayer is attentiveness, and that doesn't just involve you know, words that I'm offering. So that's a good reminder.
not to burden people with more technology, but there are a couple of good
apps. Absolutely.
That do the daily Book of Common Prayer.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, utilize that. Mission St. Clair, I know, has one. There's several that are really helpful, and yeah, they'll include prayers and little services from the Book of Common Prayer that are helpful. Marshall, you're exactly right. It's kind of nice to hear the bells.
Oh, that is so nice.
You want to close us in prayer?
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Glad you. I'm always glad if you want to grab coffee sometime or chat or get together and pray. We can do that. The Lord be with you. Heavenly Father, it's astounding that you want to know us and hear from us, and that you want us to know you. It's humbling. And I pray for us, I pray that Advent will be a people who pray, not because that's the right thing or good Christian thing to do, but because so much life comes from abiding in you and abiding in Christ. And we get so busy and important that we forget that. And I pray, Lord, that you would do whatever you need to do to make us people that pray. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.